today, Singh v. Holder, 12-2656.
Mr. Gagne, yes.
Gagne?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. In this immigration case, the petitioner sought cancellation of removal pursuant to 8 U.S.C. 1229. Of the several criteria he was required to show, there is one that is in dispute, whether petitioner's removal to his native country of India would result in exceptional and extremely unusual hardship to his qualifying relatives, namely his three U.S. citizen children. At issue today is review of the Board's decision denying petitioner's motion to reconsider, decision denying his direct appeal from the Immigration Court. Our motion set forth two errors made by the Board, the first being that it employed an incorrect legal standard in assessing the hardship, namely that it considered each factor separately rather than considering the cumulative effect of those factors. And second, that it overlooked a key line of evidence, namely the poverty that exists in India, inasmuch as the benchmark cases of the Board as it relates to hardship in cancellation cases relate to Mexico, which is a much more affluent country than India. Mexico ranks 60th in income per capita and India 120th. The income of an average Mexican is four times actually that of a citizen of India. So the ballpark here for considering hardship is completely separate from the normal cases discussing hardship, and that was not factored into the legal standard or as a separate hardship issue. Now, the Board, in its decision, in one sentence, said that it did actually use an analysis that considered the aggregate of the factors. But
we decided that in Mr. Singh's prior case, correct?
In this Court's decision of 2011, it said that the Board did not use the aggregate analysis. And then this Court looked to the analysis of the immigration judge to substitute for that missing analysis. So the Board says that they did. I think a reasonable person would say that they didn't. And this Court said also that they didn't consider the aggregate of the hardships.
So we relied on the immigration judge's decision.
Yes.
So I guess maybe you can enlighten me, Mr. Gagne.
Yes, okay.
I was a member of the panel who decided his prior case.
Okay.
I was sort of startled to learn that it looked like on the same day Mr. Singh filed a petition for review of that decision in this court and a petition to reconsider with the BIA. And those went forward on parallel tracks?
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Is that normal?
Yeah, it would be because they're both due within 30 days. They both had to be filed within that time period.
I found it a little startling that I was well into your brief before I saw even any mention of his prior appeal to this court. Maybe I just need to get used to this in immigration proceedings with duplicative and wasteful repetitive proceedings, of which we see many. But I find it we obviously wouldn't allow that to go on with a district court decision.
Well,
where the motion to reconsider prevents the appeal from going forward to this court.
I mean, you should have stayed this proceeding? The previous petition,
yeah.
Proceeding,
mm-hmm.
While the motion to reconsider was pending.
Yes. That would be one device for accomplishing the goal so that we only look at the case once.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea, yeah. Just wasn't done.
So should we start issuing orders routinely in immigration cases to tell us whether a motion to reconsider or reopen has been filed and so we don't waste our time with repeated appeals in these cases?
Yeah, that probably would be a good idea to put the resources to decide the case once. Just for whatever reason, we just didn't think that relevant, the previous petition.
It's the same issue.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Well, the second issue in our motion was the fact that key lines of evidence were overlooked, namely the poverty that exists in India. That was also not addressed in the board's brief decision. And actually, looking at this court's decision in 2011, because we're claiming under Champion v. Holder, the petitioner is entitled to consideration of overlooked evidence. This court didn't look at the issue of the evidence being the poverty that exists in India. It looked at an extraneous issue of whether or not he had relatives in India that could assist him. That was never an important issue in the case. It was just always a red herring that has come up in each of the decisions. So if that could be reviewed, we'd be appreciative. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Nsenga? Did we wear out Mr. Nelson? Okay.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Andrew Nsenga for the respondent, the Attorney General. Petitioner, as Your Honor recognizes, returns to this Court a second time seeking review of a motion to reconsider, the denial of a motion to reconsider the cancellation hardship determination made by the agency. Generally, this Court lacks jurisdiction to review the hardship determination. That is also true when that same issue comes up in a motion to reconsider. The only exception to that jurisdictional bar is that petitioner must allege a colorable constitutional or legal question, and he has not done so here. First, as I mentioned, the court generally lacks jurisdiction over hardship determination. The court in the prior petition for review already recognized that. The court also lacks jurisdiction to review the motion to reconsider a hardship determination when, as this court recognized in Cruz Mayejo, that it would be impossible to distinguish between the prior hardship determination and the agency's reconsideration of that issue. And that is what is before this court. The agency was addressed with claims that it failed to consider the hardship in the aggregate and that it somehow misperceived petitioner's relationship with his relatives. At the end of the day, whether that is true or not goes to whether or not petitioner is eligible for cancellation by demonstrating the requisite hardship. Because that deals with the hardship issues, this court has recognized it does not have jurisdiction to review that determination under the INA. Moreover, the only exception to that jurisdictional bar would be to raise colorable legal or constitutional issues. Petitioner has not done so. As we discussed in our brief, and in particular a 28J letter filed last week, Your Honors, petitioner should be precluded from continuing to litigate the exact same issue this court already decided lacked any merit. It already found his concerns, his claims about the aggregate consideration of hardship lacked any merit. It's not now colorable simply because he re-raises it in consideration of motion to reconsider.
Mr. Nsenga, is this kind of parallel litigation common?
That's a difficult question to answer, Your Honor. It is sometimes common. Whether it's advisable to stay every petition for review, to be honest with you, Your Honor, would be something that would need to be, I think, discussed with my higher-ups in my office to make a final determination if the court is looking to set a broad policy on all immigration cases. In my experience, we sometimes, if we are aware, if my office is aware of a pending motion to reconsider, we sometimes ask that the court hold the first petition in abeyance. Mm-hmm. The problem we found with creating a per se rule is that is very often abused. In fact, Cruz Mayejo, the case in which it found had no jurisdiction, was that situation. There were multiple motions to reconsider, multiple motions to reopen. And indeed, the final sentences of Cruz Mayejo says, we hope this saga is over. The difficulty with making that per se rule is it would and the government's general opinion encourage that sort of behavior.
An automatic stay and delay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. So generally, we don't have a per se rule. Mm-hmm. I was not the attorney in the prior case. I'm not sure if the government was aware. I should say, I'm not sure if the Office of Immigration Litigation was aware that a motion to reconsider had been filed. We do have a system in which the Board of Immigration Appeals notifies us, but sometimes there is a bit of delay given the large amount of cases that are pending before the immigration courts.
Thank you.
Thank you. So unless the court has any further questions, we ask the court to dismiss the petition.
All right. Thank you.
Regarding the issue of issue preclusion, we'd ask this court to look closely at its decision of November 2011 and just correct the errors that exist there. Regarding Champion v. Holder,
you're asking us to correct the errors in the 2011 decision?
Just to reconsider the decision, because there are several.
If you think there was a mistake, there's a remedy for that. It's called a petition for rehearing.
Yeah, but that's.
It's due.
Almost never granted. And
there's a reason for that. So you think the better way to do it is to go back to the agency and ask us one more time?
No, not that way. We just came through the motion to reconsider, and now that we're here, that decision is part of this case. And just as a tangential issue to this case, primarily we're looking at the board's decisions, which never consider the hardship factors in the aggregate. That's a glaring error of the board. And also they never considered the poverty issues. What are we left with in terms of denying his application? I mean, fairness dictates that those issues be looked at and considered.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And we'll take the case under advisement and proceed to the